Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
The business of sports can be intimidating or hard for a startup to break into.
We really appreciate when our owners are actually there, you know, with us through the journey.
Teams, ours especially, have been very intentional to diversify at all levels of the company.
I think we're in the golden years for the NFL and college football.
Our demographic reach has continued to expand.
This is going to be really unlocking the streaming platform for sports fans.
Sports valuations are rising. We'll see when they peak.
You don't have to be the best in your sport to make a whole ton of money.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Coming up on the show today, we get you ready for March Madness. We check in with Mountain West Conference Commissioner Gloria Navarez about the state of the league heading into the tournament this year.
The NCAA, you know, the total membership, brought this upon ourselves by not having a governance system that could flex with the times and move quickly to adopt change. And so we went from zero to 60 in the name, image, likeness space. And while I support student athletes being able to monetize their name, image, likeness, we do need some guardrails, and I really would like to see pay for play get taken out.
We'll also talk about college basketball supernova Caitlin Clark and what her rise means in the NIL era.
Clark with the ball in her hands. The three-peat is complete for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
All that and more straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports, but first this week, NFL free agency kicked off.
It's a great time to be alive, Michael Barr, and we've already seen some very big moves. We've seen Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons, Saquon Barkley moving to the rival Philadelphia Eagles, and of course, for you New York Jet fans, we re-signed Greg the Leg Zuerlein.
With all those big money signings already underway, we wanted to check in with a friend of the show, Noel LaMontagne. He is a former NFL pro, and you know that, and now director of Verdence Capital Advisors. Noel, welcome back to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. And when I get introductions like that, I almost just want to sign off and just let it hang in the air.
You are too kind, man. Hey, well, let's start with the elephant in the room. We got a lot of signings that have taken place in the NFL. Russell Wilson is the first one that comes to mind. Your thoughts about that? He's going to the Steelers for a year, and then I believe Denver is eating the contract for about $38 million. And then the Steelers said, okay, we'll pay you 1 point, blah, blah, blah.
I think for the Steelers, it's probably one of the greatest contracts ever signed, potentially. And that's whether or not Russell Wilson returns to whatever form he's going to return to. Obviously, he's been a tremendous quarterback over the years. He's been a little bit down the last couple. Was it him? Was it the team? We'll see. But the Steelers don't have to worry about it. They're going to pay rookies more than they're paying rookie free agents more than they're paying Russell Wilson.
Well, no, you gotta correct me if I'm wrong here, but tell me the most valuable player of the initial days of free agency is an agent, Mike McCartney, agent for Kirk Cousins, who signed a four-year, $180 million contract, by the way, to play with Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, I mean, Drake London. I mean, unbelievable contract. What does that do for the quarterback position? What does that do for the NFL this year?
$180 million, that's Scarlet money right there.
I'll tell you what, Mike has been honestly running the show in that respect for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to Kirk's years in Washington, the strategy that they've been able to put together and then execute on has been phenomenal. And listen, you know, it's no offense to Kirk, but he was a fourth round pick. You know, there was a quarterback drafted ahead of him. So when you look at the same team in RG3, so when you look at the player and the path and these contracts, I mean, it's outstanding what Mike's done. One note that I'll make that I think Mike has really affected the market, not only on the guaranteed side of contracts, especially at the quarterback position, but also duration of contract, which is something that we're seeing come a lot more to fruition, even with the cap increase. These shorter contracts, big money, shorter contracts, less risk, more reward for the player, and you get back to the table quicker.
Oh, my goodness. Saquon Barkley,
yep.
Tiki Barber, they're all, like, you know, mad at each other now. Yeah, Saquon, one heck of a running back, left the Giants, going to the Eagles. That's why Tiki's all upset. But, hey, listen, it looks like for $37 million for 3 years, it looks like, Noel, that's well paid.
I would say so, you know, and especially in at a position that's – it's been tough to get those kind of contracts. And, listen, I'll be open about it. I love Tiki. I've known him basically since I got into the real football world back at Virginia when we played together. He loves to stir the pot. He's a competitive guy, and I guarantee you he does not like that color green down south on 95. Probably more about that than it is anything, but once you go to social media, people are gonna make it whatever they want to make it.
It's interesting just how active the running back market has been given to where we've been in years past, right? I mean, it's been that position, you know, Saquon Barkley all but begged the Giants to pay him last year, right? And now, you know, Tiki Barber's, you know, casting shade on him. And, you know, for me, I look at, you know, meat and potatoes. I look at the offensive line position. And, I mean, some of the, you know, left tackles that are, I mean, they're still on the market. Like, why is, you know, are certain positions getting attention this year and why are others not?
I think that there is a big push for what's going to sell tickets. And, you know, unfortunately, and this hurts me to, this pains me to say, but offensive linemen don't sell tickets. Now, granted, as Saquon Barkley learned very painfully in New York, when you don't have an offensive line, you're only going to be so good as a running back. And, you know, the quarterbacks have figured that out too. But listen, they're investing big money in the positions that make them the most money. And what they don't want to see is they don't want to see Aaron Rodgers go down with an Achilles injury 4 games into the season after they go through everything that they did to get him. They don't want to see Kirk Cousins in Minnesota go down after a handful of games to an Achilles tendon injury, ironically. So, you know, they're putting the money where they're going to get the most rate of return. But I think what we're going to see in this next phase, because listen, to Michael's point early, none of these contracts are official yet. None of these teams have you know, detailed medical information on there's agreements in principle, but we're going to see some of these fall through over the next few days. We're going to see people renege. We're going to see people sign where they didn't say they were going to sign. So these teams have work to do. And I think in this next phase of free agency, you're going to start seeing some of these offensive linemen start to fill out these rosters where they know that, well, we've got these star players. Let's protect these star players.
Noel, I got to shift gears here and ask you about women's basketball because Caitlin Clark of Iowa is breaking records left and right. She is, of course, already the NCAA Div 1 all-time leading scorer for men's and women's basketball, and she just surpassed Steph Curry's record of most three-pointers hit in a single NCAA Div 1 season. Of course, the controversy, if you want to call it that, is that she is going to enter the WNBA draft rather than extend her time at Iowa and cash in on those NIL deals. Can you weigh in on this debate? Is this a false debate here?
I think anytime you're dealing with a talent who is engaging, personable, noticeable, you know, however you want to classify her, anybody who loses her, it's a loss. There's no way to counterbalance that. And she's a superstar. She transcends, you know, men's sports, women's sports, obviously, with her accomplishments at Iowa. But at the same time, you know, she's got a way from a business perspective, if this is what my long-term future is, to continue this sport and performing at a high level in the sport for as long as I can, how much am I capped out at what I can accomplish at Iowa from a business perspective versus what the WNBA is going to give me the opportunity to do. So how are those relationships going to transfer into the professional ranks? I would imagine, I mean, this is a conversation that we have regularly. Mm-hmm. You're going to weigh the pros and cons of this. You're going to look at what the cash flow is going to be if you stay put, if you move on. I mean, you know, it's actually completely related, Scarlett. I'm sure this is exactly what Caleb Williams went through with his team in evaluating the benefits of staying or going. You know, with Caitlin, I think it's a little bit different just because, well, all this is women's basketball. It's not as big as the NFL. Right. Well, you want to know what? It is for her. And I'll bet you if you put her and Caleb Williams in a lot of rooms and bring in a you know, opinion groups, they're going to know who she is because that's how big of a star that she is. So I think for the Big Ten, for Iowa, certainly for the NCAA, for her to move on and be an alum, that's going to be, it's going to be unfortunate for them, but it was going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
And for her, I would just like to see her do it in her best interest at the best timing for her, because obviously she's given women's college basketball and college basketball in general plenty to go on up to this point.
Noel, AKA our hero, thank you, sir, for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports, old friend. We really do appreciate it.
Anytime. I really appreciate these conversations. Thank you all.
That's Noel LaMontagne, the former NFL pro and director of Redence Capital Advisors. Our thanks to him for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. From one friend of the show to another, our colleague Jason Kelly of Bloomberg Originals has a brand new show with none other than A-Rod, former New York Yankees superstar slugger Alex Rodriguez.
It is called The Deal, and you can catch it on the Bloomberg Original stream every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as well as on Bloomberg Television every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern.
On the last episode, Jason and Alex talk with Smack Entertainment CEO Constance Schwartz-Marini. Here's a sneak peek of that conversation.
For me, starting Smack, it was, I actually didn't plan on going on my own, truly. Like, I didn't realize I was an entrepreneur because it wasn't, I always joke about it, like, kale and entrepreneur weren't words you used back in the 90s.
Right.
And when I went on my own, it was because I got fired, which was the best thing ever. So I'm so thankful to them for, you know, telling me to hit the road. But when I parted ways with Snoop, I had Michael and I had Dion, but they weren't Coach Prime and Strahan, the media, you know, behemoth now. And I understood it. But wherever I was interviewing at, they wanted me, well, you worked in sports, you'll work in sports. You produced Snoop's reality show, you should be a reality show producer. You're great at brand partnerships. Like, don't you get it? Like, I have 20 years of the best experience ever combining what I learned at the NFL and what I learned at the firm.
Mm.
That's what this company is. That's what it's about. One of our new people that just came into the company on the production side, he said to me, what McDonald's is to hamburgers and what phones are to Apple, Smack is to game changers.
Mm.
And I never looked at it like that. I actually got a little teary for somebody that didn't work at the company who had that perception of us on the outside. I was like, that's what it is.
That's Smack Entertainment CEO Constance Schwartz-Marini speaking with Jason Kelly and Alex Rodriguez. You know I had to say that. On the latest edition of The Deal. Watch it on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television. Stream it on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Originals. And find the podcast on your favorite podcast platforms. Up next, we turn to college sports and the Caitlin Clark Effect. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports, Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. Now, you've heard this name, Caitlin Clark. My goodness, she has set the world of basketball on fire.
Here comes Clark. How will she go for history? There it is! The all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball.
And now she is about to go into the WNBA after taking Iowa just to notes and beyond in terms of her team in college. And to talk with us about the Caitlin Clark fever, because I know I have it, our own Adam Minter. Bloomberg's Adam Minter, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thanks for having me.
Man, this I have said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. I am looking at a woman who could possibly one day play in the NBA because she is that good.
She is that good, and she's that exciting, and she's that charismatic. You know, this past week she was at the Big Ten Women's Basketball Championship in Minneapolis. The championship game was at 11 a.m., and by 10 a.m., there were people lined up outside of the stadium on a Sunday morning to see her. And had Caitlin Clark not been playing, I can guarantee you, you wouldn't see a line outside of a stadium at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I was one of the people who was there. She's got that thing that, you know, gets people out to pay, buy tickets and see a great athlete.
And it's not just her, right? Because the team overall, there's chemistry on the team and they work well together. Can you compare and contrast what it was like attending that game, the Iowa game, versus some of the other college basketball games that you've attended? I just want to get a sense of what her star power really does for women's basketball and women's college basketball right now.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting to go and see one of her games. It's reminiscent to me of, you know, the height of Kobe fever, the height of LeBron James fever, where people are showing up to see the warm-ups of a player. And the rest of the team is great. Don't get me wrong. Iowa has a wonderful team. But you wouldn't see, you know, kids in particular standing around the edge of the arena watching somebody, you know, take their warm-ups for any of those other players. That's something you see for Steph Curry. You know, if you go and see the Golden State Warriors, people are dying to see Steph Curry's famous warm-up. You start to get that a little bit with Caitlin Clark, and it's just such a unique thing in the women's basketball game. I don't believe that there has ever been another star quite like this, even though there have been some fantastic players, you know, in women's college basketball over the years, the Sue Birds, the Diana Taurasis, the Brittany Griners. But for whatever reason, they didn't have this thing, this elusive charisma that brings people into the stadiums and gets them out at, you know, 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, 18,500 people to see somebody. So I've never experienced this, and I'm a big women's basketball fan, especially at the college level. People get excited. It's always a very engaged fan base.
Yeah.
But it's never been so personality driven.
And it's not just in person, right? Because, Damian, the number of households that watched the Iowa-Nebraska game surpassed that who watched the men's UNC-Duke game.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, well, let's put some numbers around this, Adam. $7 billion. That's what Fox, CBS, and NBC are paying for women's college basketball. Now, what happens when Caitlin goes to the pros? What happens to those dollars, that invested capital, and what is in it for some of these news agencies like Fox Sports?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I mean, this is not unprecedented in the history of sports. NBC, for example, faced this in the 90s with Michael Jordan's two retirements. And in both cases, ratings crashed. They had paid big money to get the NBA. And all of a sudden, the NBA is swimming around aimlessly trying to find a star to replace Michael Jordan. We've seen it in other sports. And now it's the NCAA's turn. Here you have a lot of money having been paid to televise these games, the $7 billion that the Big Ten has received from Fox, CBS, and NBC. The NCAA just finished a $1 billion deal just for the Women's Final Four and some other championships. I'm sure they would love to have another year of this. So
right.
The question becomes, how do they replace Caitlin Clark? And Fox's answer is, well, what if we pay her name, image, and likeness rights for another year
right.
To stay in the game? And that's what they've contemplated. And they ended up not doing it, but that's how desperate they are from a business standpoint to keep her going.
Michael Barr, how much would it take for you to stay in Des Moines, Iowa for one more year?
Oh, looking at my wallet, you can offer me $3 and the deed, the Boardwalk and Park Place. Now, I tell you, it she is really something. And like you said, it's something that Fox Sports, they shouldn't necessarily, now they never offered it to her about, you know, the name, image, and likeness deal.
Maybe they did.
But, well, I don't know.
Publicly, but, they did not.
Publicly, they did not. But, I mean, it's not a bad idea, and it's something they should keep in their hip pocket down the road for the next superstar.
Well, that's the point I was making in this recent column is, you know, basketball more so than most sports is a star driven sport. I mean, of course, football is where a lot of the money is and stars help in football, but they're wearing helmets. You don't get to know them on the court in the way that you get to know a Caitlin Clark. I mean, some of the fun of watching Caitlin Clark is she's such an expressive personality on the court. The tongue is out when she hits a big shot. You know, you can see her mouthing things that maybe we can't say, you know, on a radio show or a podcast. But all of that adds to this allure. And then on top of it, her game. And, you know, it also helps, of course, in basketball. There's five people on one team and one person can really catalyze that team and make it special. And so it's a star-driven sport. And so for Fox to say, hey, we want to keep this person in there, it's recognizing that it's a star-driven sport. And it's also recognizing that in some way, shape, or form, these networks that are doing so well by Caitlin Clark need to find some other stars to keep this momentum going. Yes, women's basketball has some momentum of its own, and there are some up-and-coming stars, but you want to keep them in the game. You don't want to see them heading off to the WNBA early, which is something that has arguably harmed men's college basketball over the years. The stars don't stay around very long. It's a year, one and done, and then they're into the NBA. The WNBA isn't quite there yet, but the money is coming. You know, they have a new CBA coming up in a couple of years, and that could pull some of these great young players away. And suddenly, you know, the Foxes are looking for a new star to replace the Caitlin Clarks or the Juju Watkins or whoever is that next up-and-coming face of the sport.
Adam, you think we have a better chance of seeing Caitlin play in Riyadh than in New York? No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, look, I it's funny because, you know, when we talk about disrupting sports, you know, we never really think about college sports and what NIL means. But I mean, I joke obviously about our friends in Saudi, but you know, just imagine if, you know, they had an interest in, you know, the US education system in a university, let's just for one example, and they have the dollars to speak for it. I mean, who knows? I mean, the point I guess we're making here is Fox, you know, CBS, NBC, you know, the Saudis, what have you, you know, they can in today's day and age pay players to remain in college and to remain in their college for longer. It's just an amazing world we live in, Adam.
Right. And I think there's two points to make on that. One, we know that players are getting paid to stay in college right now. Michigan, the national champions in football, prior to this season, they had NIL fundraising drives specifically designed to keep key players on their team so they could make that championship run. So it's already happening. That was small money. I can't quite remember. I want to say that fund was a few $100,000. It's going to cost a lot more than that if you want to keep somebody like Caitlin Clark in college. But it's interesting. And in terms of the Saudis, you know, I don't know if the Saudis want to get involved in college basketball, but the fact of the matter is there's a lot of money in college basketball and we have March Madness coming up. And there's really no reason why the NCAA should sort of have the monopoly on a spring tournament. If somebody were to put together enough money, private equity, for example, working with some networks, say, hey, we have this amount of money that we are going to guarantee to the schools, and we're going to throw in some NIL money to the players, that might pull some, you know, some big teams, Power 5, Power 4, whatever you call it now, teams away. And suddenly the NCAA March Madness isn't what it was anymore. And there's this new, I don't know, private equity funded or whatever it is, funded different tournaments. So I think, you know, the disruption isn't over, especially in women's sports, because it's so new and so dynamic right now. You can't assume anything.
Yet another challenge posed to the NCAA, which is kind of fending it off from all directions. So now that Caitlin Clark has said that she will enter the WNBA draft after the tournaments are over, we're looking at a rookie salary of under $80,000 a year. And there's been a lot of talk about how she's going to end up giving up a lot of NIL-related revenue. But it's not as if she doesn't have her choice in terms of brands to represent and to have partnerships with. So for someone like Caitlin Clark, it's not... Do you anticipate that she will lose money by going pro to the WNBA?
She'll be playing in Indiana.
I don't. I don't. I think that she potentially is going to make a lot more money. First of all, I think from just a pure basketball standpoint, I think her game can bloom in the WNBA. Again, with respect to her Iowa teammates, in the WNBA, she's going to have people, players with better hands catching her amazing passes. I think you're going to see her assists go up so she can become a better player. And that's going to attract in its own way other endorsements. She's also the most prominent woman athlete in the United States, arguably in the world right now.
Yeah.
What comes with that? She has a Nike shoe deal. She has another shoe coming out. I don't know what Caitlin Clark gets paid per shoe, but I think she's, you know, she's going to be able to look at the WNBA salary, the WNBA, you could almost say like a side gig. I saw somebody refer to Travis Kelce's Kansas City Chiefs salary as his side gig because he's making so much money from the endorsements. She's become such a recognizable personality, you know, via the State Farm ads, via Nike, that I think the other opportunities are going to be there, and she's going to have this momentum as a pitch woman that arguably could be even independent of whatever she's doing on the court. So I think for her, at least, it's a very unique situation. And the other thing to consider is, you know, the WNBA has never gone global per se. Mm-hmm. It's always been a North American league. There's a CBA coming up. There's going to be more money coming in. And I think she's perfectly poised to benefit from that financially when it does happen, both in terms of salary, because there is going to be more salary for WNBA players. But again, if she becomes a global personality, the money is there.
Well, let's just put some numbers around it one last second here, Adam. Caitlin Clark is probably, for all intents and purposes, going to get drafted by the Indiana Fever as the top pick. She's going to get to play with last year's Rookie of the Year, I think, Aaliyah Boston. And here's some interesting numbers for you guys. $500 Fever home opener versus the New York Liberty on May 16th. The average price for a Fever ticket is at $140 for the season, up from $60 last year. And I think, Scarlett, I mean, I think you and I are going to go to this one. Connecticut Swan, May 14th, $183 to watch Caitlin Clark play.
That's a bargain right now.
Bargain.
Bargain. That's okay, so we'll make it a Business of Sports field trip. Adam, you can come with us as well, since you have some experience attending these games.
Old Man Barr has a prediction. Write this down. Next year, in the NBA All-Star Game, the three-pointer shootout, it's going to be Caitlin Clark there. That's going to happen.
That's a good one.
That's there.
Yep.
Bam, that's it. There you go. Bloomberg's Adam Minter, thank you so much, sir, for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thanks for having me.
We really do appreciate it. Our thanks to Bloomberg opinion columnist Adam Minter for joining us. Find his latest work by typing OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal, plus online at Bloomberg.com. Up next, we stick with college sports and talk with Mountain West Conference Commissioner Gloria Navarez ahead of March Madness. That's straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. March Madness is right around the corner. San Diego State was the runner-up in last year's big dance, hailing from the Mountain West Conference.
It's Butler with 2 seconds. He's got to put it up. He wins it with the jumper. A San Diego State miracle.
for her thoughts and what she sees for this year's NCAA tournament and the overall college sports landscape. We welcome back Mountain West Conference Commissioner Gloria Navarez. Gloria, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you for having me.
My goodness, have we seen the end of the traditional amateur sports in America? Things have changed.
What a big picture question.
Woo!
Yeah. I mean, you know, amateurism, the definition of it in the college space is certainly changing, but I wouldn't say the end of amateur sports or sports in the academy, which is, I think, what's special about college sports.
So there's so many different areas to discuss when it comes to college sports. I guess one thing I want to get your take on is the decision by Dartmouth men's basketball team to unionize. They're the latest group on the Dartmouth campus to do so, but it definitely could set a precedent for other college basketball teams. How are you thinking about this, and how does this change how the NCAA adjusts its approach to college sports?
Well, it's, you know, and it's been a minute. I have my law degree, but I don't practice law. So
actually, that's a perfect approach then, because you can think through some of the legal issues, but you're not sitting there thinking, how would they tactically respond to this particular accusation or that particular charge?
Right. And, you know, from my initial reading of the case, it seems to center around the control schools have over student athletes, the range of, you know, how often their schedules dictated what they can and cannot do. So it certainly is an interesting legal question. And I don't know that over time we've spent a lot of time thinking about how much or how little we should exert those controls on student athletes, because frankly, in my experience, most student athletes, you know, would want to train 360 days all the time, get extra reps in the gym. And so it's a balance, you know, between those that want to push that hard and those that might want to dial back a little bit.
I think you're right. They do want to do that. But how do they do that and go to school at the same time? Especially right. If, you know, they're part of the Pac-12, which is falling apart, and they'll soon have to cross the country to participate in a swim meet.
Well, you know, one of the more positive storylines around college sports in the NCAA is the graduation rates. Student athletes, because of the support systems and some of the controls, have been graduating at a higher rate than general student bodies.
So, Gloria, I just have to ask you this. I mean, you know, let's play a little bit of bracketology ahead of the men's NCAA basketball tournament. If my numbers are accurate, it's possible the Mountain West might see not one, not two, not three, not four, six teams in the tournament of 64. Is that right?
Well, I am highly superstitious, like most people in athletics. So I'm
okay. I'll answer for you. Six bids behind only the Big 12 and the SEC. That's what I'm hearing here. I'm hearing Boise State, Nevada, Colorado State.
No timeouts for the Rams. Lucas fires for the win. Oh, Jared Lucas lost his mind from half court, and it's a party for the Wolfpack.
Of course, San Diego State, the runner-up last
it's
year.
It's Butler with 2 seconds. He's got to put it up, and he wins it! He wins it with the jumper! A San Diego State miracle.
New Mexico, I mean, there's tons to pick from. What a season.
We are pushing a hashtag that sounds a little bit like six bids.
I mean, congratulations. That's just awesome. I mean, and obviously, I mean, the follow-through from that, from participating in the tournament, I mean, and, you know, for the conference, I mean, talk to us about the impact this is going to have on the conference.
Well, you know, certainly our San Diego State's run to the championship game last year, you can't put a value on the exposure and the platform, the positive impact that has for the school, their admissions, but not only the league. What I loved about last year was San Diego State really spent some time talking about how the Mountain West League, the schedule, the teams they played against, the environments they played in, really helped prepare them for that postseason run. And this year has just been a testament to, you know, there's a lot of change. There's the transfer portal. A lot of times our talent, student athletes, coaches, administrators, ADs, you know, when they start to get really good, get lured away. But yet we keep rebuilding. We keep coming back. We develop talent. We find talent. Our coaches' rooms are amazing.
I am going to ask you a question that was asked to Senator Ted Cruz. And his response is that there's a 50-50 chance by the end of this year there will be some legislation concerning the college athletics in going on for amateur status, particularly NIL. Your thoughts about that? Will there be some legislation, you think so, by the end of the year?
Well, I certainly hope so. I am a supporter of President Charlie Baker's platform for reform in that space. Now, certainly, to some degree, the NCAA, you know, the total membership, brought this upon ourselves by not having a governance system that could flex with the times and move quickly to adopt change. And so we went from 0 to 60 in the name, image, likeness space. And while I support student athletes being able to monetize their name, image, likeness, we do need some guardrails. And I really would like to see pay for play get taken out of the NIL space. But also, you know, we're dealing with young people who are certainly amazing, but, you know, you hear stories about student athletes signing the rights into perpetuity or signing deals that don't come to fruition, or, you know, there needs to be the institutional support systems in that space to both help the athletes and to safeguard their rights.
So, Gloria, let me ask you this. We've got the Mountain West Basketball Championship. Are you in Las Vegas now? And what's it like over there? What's the buzz surrounding this year's tournament?
It's amazing. And, yes, we've been in Las Vegas for a couple days now. And, you know, Las Vegas has really just attracted 5 collegiate tournaments. And so what I love about it, it's become the place to go to start your March Madness.
Yeah.
You know, people have made this their pilgrimage. And even if maybe your team's not doing as well as you hoped in any given year, you're still coming because you can see a ton of great basketball and be in one of the world's most fun vacation spots.
Well, that's my point. I mean, just the fact that you have that tournament in Las Vegas right ahead of March Madness, I mean, what a better place. I mean, and I can see how that might work for you. I mean, what sort of events outside of the tournament, I mean, are you planning? Are you meeting with, you know, I don't know, different schools, athletic directors, donors, and the like?
Yes, we have our board meetings. We just met with our presidential group because they're all here. And, you know, all the different schools, it's really fun to see them activate around the event, their alumni associations. Everyone's wearing their colors up and down the strip.
Awesome.
And yelling, you know, go fill in the blank school when they see their fellow fans. It's super fun.
Gloria, before the Mountain West Conference, you were, of course, a part of the West Coast Conference. And before that, you were at the Pac-12. When we talk about the Pac-12, there's only 2 remaining members, Washington State and Oregon State. Where are we with conference realignments? Because if geography doesn't matter anymore with USC and UCLA moving to Big Ten, what does?
You know, for the Mountain West, one of the things that I think has been a real asset for us during this time of change is the alignment among our presidents and the alignment among our schools. You know, we just did a huge strategic plan brand analysis process. And one of the ties that binds is, you know, the Mountain West schools, although dramatically different in their very own ways, as any league, they really pride themselves on accessible education. A lot of big public institutions, many of which are the only show in town. We have a very, you know, a lot of first generation, no silver spoons, blue collar work ethic. And so there's this, you know, kind of toughness, grit that I think is common between the Mountain West. Just let the play on the floor prove what we're about. And so that, I feel, has really helped us stay together. I'm optimistic that this might be a settling point in the conference realignment, at least for a year, hopefully, because media deals have been signed, grant of rights have been committed to. And so I think as we work through the issues around the college football playoff,
I think everyone is looking forward to some stability in that space.
Yeah, so you're talking about the culture of different schools and the campuses kind of bringing them together with others. Does college football eventually down the road become its own thing and the other sports and those conferences kind of shake out accordingly?
You know, I know that has been a call or a, you know, suggestion because of what's happened around realignment. I personally very much appreciate college football being attached to higher education, the Academy of Higher Education. And it just, I don't know that I've got my mind around if you have college football players on your campus and you treat them one way, but the other, you know, 90% of your athletic department and their student athletes are treated another way, it just seems to me that we're missing something there. So it would be my hope that we keep it all together and figure out how to answer the issues that are different around college football, but keep them within college athletics and how we treat our other sports and athletes.
That's a big, tall order there. Gloria, I really appreciate your joining us today. Gloria Navarez is, of course, the commissioner of the Mountain West Conference.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We're here each and every week at the same time. For my colleagues Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer, I'm Michael Barr. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big money in the world of sports. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.